Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which, for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud. Hey everybody, welcome to Sophia with an F. I am recording from Nashville, Tennessee. I've always wanted to come here. I'm so fucking excited to be here. I can't wait to buy cowgirl boots. That's the real reason I fucking came. I'm fucking kidding. The real reason I came is Bunny, who is my guest today. Hi, Bunny.
Hey, baby.
Hi, babe.
How are you?
I'm really, really good. I was just on Bunny's podcast, the Dumb Blonde podcast.
Yes.
We had a really amazing episode. And before we really dive in, I just need to give a little backstory because I got into Nashville yesterday. I'm sitting at my Airbnb. I'm like working on my laptop and all of a sudden I see you on the television and I'm like, who is this bitch? Like, hi, I'm with a celebrity. You're so fucking famous. No. What was that about? You were in a music video with your boyfriend or your husband.
Yeah. So my husband is Jelly Roll. Mm-hmm. He just did a collab with Brantley Gilbert. So I think the video that you saw was Son of the Dirty South with Brantley Gilbert. So if you guys haven't heard that song, go download it, stream it, play it, listen to it. And go watch the video because I'm in it.
I love a girl who stands her man like that. Aww, do you ever get annoyed when people refer to you or they're like, you're Jelly Roll's wife?
Yes, I hate that.
Annoying as fuck, right?
Yeah, it drives me crazy, which is why I have my own brand, which is the Bunny XO brand, the Dumb Blonde podcast and stuff like that, because when I first got with Jay, everybody used to say, oh, she's a gold digger, you know, she's only with him for money. When we first got together, he didn't have anything.
Okay.
I was the one, he was sleeping on my couch, and he's done so many interviews. He just did the Bert Kreischer interview where he was talking about, you know, how we met and stuff like that. And you know, when we first got together, I was just like, I don't want to just be a musician's wife. I want to be, there's so much more to me, so many layers. I'm like a Taco Bell 7-layer burrito without the beans.
You are like a cat who's lived, like has 9 lives. Yes. Except you have like 50 lives.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Because I did a deep dive. You are 100 times more interesting to me. No offense to your husband. He's incredible.
We love Daddy. Shout out Daddy.
Daddy. I love that.
I call him Daddy Roll.
Daddy Roll. Yeah. Hi, Daddy Roll. But you are fascinating because you have this extremely successful podcast. You're an extremely successful businesswoman. Millions of followers between Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, what have you. And you've came a long way from what I've gathered.
From being a Vegas hoe. I love you for that. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I really appreciate you saying that because a lot of women want to be complimented on how they look. I want to be complimented on things I've accomplished. Like, that's my kink.
Okay, mic drop and interview over and let's just fucking go.
Can I have that clip for my TikTok? Thank you.
No, I fucking love that. And because you're so successful, I want to talk about and kind of like back it up how it started.
Okay. So I was born in Houston and grew up in Vegas. My family moved there when I was like 5. So I literally am a West Coast girl through and through. Mm-hmm. West Coast is the best coast, baby. Grew up in a really, actually what happened was my dad was a musician. So funny, I married a musician because he was a musician. And, you know, we kind of lived the rock and roll lifestyle all the way until I was 12 years old. And then they became serious Bible thumpers, like super strict Pentecostal. I couldn't listen to secular music. I couldn't watch anything that wasn't rated G. If it was rated above G on the movie scale, I wasn't allowed to watch it.
So, okay, so your family was kind of living like this rock and roll lifestyle and then just did a complete 180.
Did a complete 180, yeah. My dad was an alcoholic and I think he might have cheated a few times. That's his repertoire. Shout out Bill. We love Bill.
Bill?
Bill's been on the podcast too. He is, to this day, my dad is almost, he's going to kill me for saying this. My dad's almost 80 years old. He is mackin' hoes and chillin'. I mean, oh, he is fucking bitches left and right. He's got a girlfriend who's like 30 years. She's only 10 years older than me. Like, it's crazy.
Okay, Bill needs to come on Sweetena.
Dad's got the sauce, okay? Is that gross to say?
I don't know. No, it's hot.
Shout out, Bill. We love Bill. You got to meet, but Bill would love you. He would be hitting on you left and right. Let me tell you, my dad.
Who does Bill not love, though?
Bill loves all the hoes. He really does. Like, Bill is all for the hoes.
I love that.
So yeah, I grew up living like the rock and roll lifestyle. My dad, you know, I would fall asleep with my dad's band playing across the room from me. There was sex, drugs, rock and roll. There was porn on TV all the time. Like, it was crazy. Like, if I could just paint a picture for you like that.
Holy shit. Yeah, and how old are you when this
happening? I was 5, fucking just rocking and rolling. Okay. I remember I came in one time from like playing outside. I think I shoved a rock up my nose or something. And there was full on porn on the TV, like just some chick getting banged out, you know. And of course, when you're that young, you don't
understand.
Right. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, you little dirty dogs. Yeah. You know, but it's fine. That lifestyle molded me into the woman that I am. And I think I was more attracted to the darker side, the seedier side of life than I was like the square side of life.
Yeah.
So when my parents made this whole change whenever I turned fucking 12, it was really hard for me.
Right.
You know, like, I had an abusive stepmom. The way I look at it is, you know, my stepmom taught me how to be a woman. She taught me to do my makeup. She taught me to do my hair. She taught me how to cook and how to keep a house and stuff like that. But on the flip side, she was also extremely verbally abusive, put my head through walls and fucking, I literally had to fist fight a fucking 5'10 cowgirl all the time from Texas. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to be an adult when you were a little kid.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like that has contributed to how you are today?
I think it has made me not have a victim mentality because I don't like wallowing, I guess you could say. And so for that, I'm thankful. You know, a lot of people, when things happen to them as children, you can either internalize it or you can externalize it. And I think I kind of used it as like, my power to like get the fuck out. So right. I left home when I was 14.
14 mm-hmm. is insane.
Yeah, I never went back.
Because you're, I mean, what, a freshman in high school or like mm-hmm. middle school when you're 14, you left?
I was going into, I was in my freshman year, I left.
And you left.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. You mentioned, and I'm going to misquote you and you can correct me. Yeah, you're like, for every brick that has been thrown at me, I use them to stand on. Yeah. I butchered that 100%.
No, pretty much. I've said that. And I've also said every brick that is thrown at us, we've used to build our empire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a rule. My manager knows this too. If something upsets me or I get mad or upset about something, I give myself 24 to 48 hours to fucking wallow in my misery, to fucking cry about it, kick about it, scream about it, fucking cuss it out, mm-hmm. beat it to death. But when that 24 to 48 hours is up, you get the fuck up and you tell life it hits like a bitch. You literally have to do that. If not, your sadness or your anger is going to consume you. And what the fuck is productive about that?
24 to 48 hours is a pretty quick turnaround, mm-hmm. if you think about it.
I mean, oh, yeah.
For serious, serious trauma, like, do you still have that rule?
It depends. So I'm talking about like breakups. I'm talking about like maybe I would say superficial trauma. Like if there's mm-hmm. something going on, like where you're getting raped or, you know, I was in an abusive relationship. It took me 6 years to heal from that, but I didn't wallow in it. I think it's okay to feel sorry for yourself mm-hmm. for 24 to 48 hours. And then after that, you need to figure it out. Like, are you going to let this make you or break you?
Right.
You know, so I think there's a turning point whenever something traumatic happens to you. Yes, you need to feel it. Yes, you need to go through it. But if you keep repeating it in your mind, you're going to condition your mind to want to just feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it just depends. It's a case by case basis for sure, because there is some fucked up shit that has happened in this world, mm-hmm. you know, and 24 to 48 hours, yes, is a short amount of time, but
I mean, I think what you're saying is you're not necessarily healed,
right?
24 to 48 right. hours.
No, never.
It's you've made like a conscious decision to
not let it break you. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mm, yes, to move forward.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you can have a certain amount of time where you just lay in your bed. I just want to sit in this sadness, depression.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, 48 hours later, you need to start making moves, even if you don't feel healed, even absolutely. If you don't feel ready to.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to get you healed.
Absolutely. When you're depressed, they say the number one thing is to get up and get fucking moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you sit there and you, I'm like the, like when I get depressed, because I battle severe depression too, suicidal ideation and all that stuff. When a lot of people like to sit in that feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do that, because I don't want to be there. Like mm-hmm. it's scary in that fucking time, you know? I want to get up, put fucking makeup on, go to work, do something to take my mind off of it and be productive, because when you're productive, you're working towards a goal. So that kind of is like an adrenaline rush. It gets the serotonin going, you know?
Right.
Whereas if you just sit there and you just think about how miserable you feel over and over again, you get on a loop. That's not healthy.
No, not at all. And thank you so much for sharing that. I would love to ask you, because, I mean, I've definitely gone through severe depression before in my life. I think a lot of people listening have. And the issue is getting that, like, umph to actually get up, act on it, do something. How do you even get that?
I mean, you have to. It's either you fucking, it's kill or be killed, you know? Mm. And it's like, I think, you know, a lot of people probably might not agree with my outlook on things like that. But the way I look at it is like, you can't let something consume you, because you could end up making a permanent decision based on temporary emotions, you know? And that is not a good thing. You want to try to pull yourself out of it. So it's crazy. Like, even on my most depressed days, if I get up and go get my ass on the stair stepper,
yep.
or even fucking walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes,
yep.
I feel so much better. I don't feel completely better, mm-hmm. but I feel like in that moment of time, at least I did something to better myself.
Yeah.
Taking a shower, it's cleansing. And they even say, like, a lot of people who believe in like manifestation and stuff like that, when you go into the shower, if you close your eyes and you just kind of meditate and you just picture the water just rinsing off those, that sadness, rinsing off that anger, just letting go. Water is so healing. It is. You know? And just to visualize that helps a lot too. I wasn't into manifestation until this year because I've been working with my coach, Glenn Cohen. He's fucking amazing. If you guys ever need a therapist, he's fucking awesome. I never realized the power of meditation.
Yeah.
It's really amazing because I could never turn my thoughts off to sit there and actually like meditate and, you know, fucking get lost in myself. But I've been doing it with him and it's really an amazing journey.
So meditation, you've recently started doing that and that's made a big change.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What kind of meditation do you do? Because I've recently started implementing that as well.
So I don't know the name of it, but the way that this therapy is that I've been doing is I close my eyes. He counts to 10. We meditate back to like certain parts of my childhood and like going back and seeing the child me, talking to the child me, meeting my pods, which is I don't want to give away too much because it's like his sauce and his formula, but like, you know, as a child we get implemented with pods from every traumatic thing that happens to us. A pod could be like critical thinker, overachiever, you know, violence. I'm a very violent person. That's one of my pods, you know? So it's like we go back to those and we see where that pod first started and we, you know, we meet them where they're at and then kind of just walk through your life. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Talking to your inner child. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, maybe he does it a little bit different, but that's like what I mean, I've definitely done that in therapy. Violent. What do you mean when you say you're a very, very violent person?
Well, I was raised in violence, you know? So my stepmother was extremely violent. I had to fight my whole life, you know, so of course, being a child who was abused, which is what it was, and I hate saying that because it makes me sound like a victim.
But it doesn't, right? Which I'm learning at the same time is like, when I talk about, oh, I had somewhat of a traumatic childhood or whatever, I think, and when I look at you, Bunny, it's so much more just a testimony to how resilient and how beautiful of a human you are. I mean, look at you now. I think it's not really a sob story. It's like you can deal with shit and fucking turn it into whatever you want.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, growing up in a violent home, of course, you know, I was an angry child because I wasn't being heard at home. Anytime I had an opinion, it got snuffed out with, you know, violence. So I fought in school. I got kicked out of numerous private schools for fighting. I got kicked out of fucking public school for fighting. I actually got kicked out of high school for fighting because I punched the principal, Mr. Gunderson. Well, he got in between a fight and I blacked out. And this guy was 400 pounds and he sat on me. So I was pissed and I was swinging, you know, and he was just like, Alyssa, you know, it's my name. You cannot, like, we can't do this anymore. It's your junior year. You're fighting everybody. Like,
yeah,
just go home.
Right. You know? Which, I mean, some people would see that as an issue. I think that's like actually pretty incredible of you. To be honest,
you like, used to beat everybody up, you big fucking bully. I think it's amazing.
No, I think it's a lot of people, you know, you were being active, right?
Oh yeah.
Similar to
yeah, very.
But like similar to how you deal with feelings of like severe depression and stuff, you act. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, I think it's my Aries moon. I'm a fighter.
Is that what always. It is?
Yeah.
I'm not saying like punch people in the face and like that's how you deal with shit, but you know, you were doing something about your feelings, which I think is lovely.
Yeah. They made those fucking rooms, what are they called? The smash rooms for people me. Those were designed for people like me for sure. And it's, you know, violence is never the answer.
No. Guys, no.
It's never the answer. I have to give that as a disclaimer, but God, is it fun.
I've gotten a few cat fights, girl fights in my day, and
I wasn't any good. No. And I would always get my ass beat 100%. Oh, no. I would just go for the hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know how to fucking fight. So I was always, I always looked up to the girls who knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah. Well, no, I got beat up the first time I ever got in a fight. I got jumped by three girls. And holy I went shit. Home and Bill was like, no, bitch. No, my daughter's not going to lose. So he took me out in the backyard for 2 weeks and whooped my ass, taught me how to fight. And was like, stop. He would put his hands up, hit me. And for 2 weeks, he was just like, now, if somebody holy ever comes shit. At you again, this is what you do. Of course, he created a monster because I became the bully, you know, which is never good. Being a bully is never a good thing.
No.
Yeah. But
I see you more as like fighter Christina Aguilera, like that song. Yeah. That's the vibe I get.
I never started them. I just finished them. That was the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, Bill, maybe that wasn't the best way, but also like in a way, like congrats, like high five Bill, you know?
Well, he didn't raise a pussy and that's a good thing. We love Bill. And Bill actually is the reason I got into my line of work because he was always just like, men are trash. Don't ever depend on a man.
Yep.
Have your own shit.
Yep.
If you're going to marry, marry for money. And my dad has, you know, always told me that. And I was just like, I'm not going to marry people for money. Like, that's fucking, I can't do that. That's not me, you know? But I will be like Robin Hood and steal from the rich and give to the poor. And the poor was me. So,
okay. I need you to elaborate on that.
So, okay. Well,
Robin Hood, give us the tea.
So I always felt like if these men are going to cheat on their wives and they're going to trick off money on females, then they deserve to have their money taken from them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing a service for the good of the people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to give me all your money, okay, fine, you know? And a lot of times whenever you're in that line of work, you don't end up having sex with the people. Of course, you do have to have sex with some of your clients and stuff like that, or like your sugar daddies who are paying a lot of money, but...
Right. Wait, let's back up really fast. Okay. Your line of work, what do you mean when you say that?
So when I was 21, when I was 18, one of my boyfriends cheated on me with a stripper. I was working a regular job and like barely even making fucking ends meet. I grew up in Vegas. All my girls were dancers by the time they were 18. Mm. You know, I was the only one who tried to have a moral compass because of religious trauma.
Right.
And, you know.
So you were a target.
Right. So I tried to fucking work a regular job. I did real estate. I did, you know, I just fucking did whatever I could to make ends meet. I was like a waitress at Shoney's. I did everything I could. And one of my best friends, Tasha, went with me to pick up one of my paychecks. And she's like, that's all you made in 2 weeks? And I was like, yeah, bitch. When she's like, I make that in an hour at work. And then my ex cheated on me with a stripper. So I was like, oh, well, if you're going to cheat on me with a stripper, if she can do it, I can do it better. Yeah. You know? So I went to my first gig at Cheetah's when I was 18. I get on the floor. I'm fucking farting.
Wait,
because I'm so nervous. You know how like you get like bubble guts because you're like so fucking nervous?
I thought you were gonna say twerking.
No,
you're,
I was like, farting.
Up a storm.
Oh, and there was the smelly ones too. It was terrible. And I walk out on the floor and the first thing this guy says to me is, I'll give you $700 to kick me in my balls.
What?
Now I would do that in a heartbeat, but I was so green and so innocent back then that I was like, no, like I can't do this. And I like ran to the dressing room, did not go back to a club till I was 21.
Wow.
Ended up going back to a strip club, danced for 11 years. And then, of course, you know, dancing always turns into, you know, you meet your customers and then you start meeting them outside of the club. And it's just a lifestyle in Vegas. Literally being a working girl is a lifestyle. And there's levels to it. Mm. You know, there's like track hoes, there's high class hoes, there's girls that walk the carpet, which are the girls who only work the casinos, service hoes.
I love how you're saying this all casual. I'm like, I've heard of like the hierarchy of hoeing.
Yeah.
I've heard sugar baby, escort, prostitute.
Okay, they're all the same thing.
But you're saying some shit. When you said girls that walk the carpet, I'm like the runway?
Yeah.
Like Fendi?
I mean, yeah, it could be considered a runway.
So please explain to me like the differences.
Yeah, I will for sure. So just so everybody's clear, sugar babies, high class escorts, What was the other one that you said?
Prostitutes
were all the same thing.
It's sex work.
It's sex work. Yeah.
It's sex work. Yeah.
But there's levels to this shit. You know, there's girls that will sleep with you for $100 and there's girls that'll sleep with you for $10,000. Mm. It just depends. You put your value on yourself.
Right.
You know? So in Vegas, they have the track, which is like, you guys saw your first track hoe. They didn't believe me about track hoes.
What the hell is a track hoe? I'm like, wait, what?
So a track hoe is a girl who gets it by any means. She does car dates. She'll, you know, sleep with you at the, like, the weeklies, you know, like budget suites, stuff like that. And those girls are fucking hustlers, man. They go out and get it. And okay. They risk their fucking lives every day. Like, those girls, I shout out to those girls because they're really putting in the work, and those bitches are fucking savages.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's those. We have girls that are service hoes in Vegas. So there's, I don't know if you've ever been on the Vegas Strip and they're clapping the things like this, and they have the things of the naked girls on them, yes, and stuff like that. So that's services. Oh. So what it is it's a service that people own that employ girls such as myself or other girls, and what they do is they book the calls for you. They take a huge percentage from you, but they'll book the calls for you and they'll send you on these calls. They're not always safe. A lot of girls get arrested because, you know, it's hard to, it depends on the type of phone girl you have. If the phone girl's cool, then normally she'll have your back and won't send you to a fucked up thing. But so you go and you collect a fee, and then you try to work out what you're going to make off of them on top of the fee. And then you have to give the service 50% of whatever you make.
50%?
50%.
Is a fucking shit ton.
50% on top of having to tip them too. It's a huge scam.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I only did that. I only worked for a service if it was super slow and like I needed their advertisement, you know?
Got it.
I always just wanted to do it on my own. And then there's the online hoes, which is like me. Of course, there's Backpage and stuff like that. There's levels to the shit with the online hoes. There's like, it's a whole Backpages, dynasty.
Yeah, Backpages isn't a thing anymore, right?
No, it's not. Thank God, because it was really unsafe. I was never on Backpage, but there was so much scams. And Backpage was equivalent to, I don't want to get any of my fellow hoes mad at me when I say this, but Backpage was kind of equivalent to the track hoes and the girls who walk the carpet, you know. It was kind of like low ball, and you know, whatever you could get out of them, you can. I mean, everybody's hustling, right? We're not knocking anybody's hustle. Everybody's fucking just trying to make a dollar, you know,
right? But there's levels.
Yeah, there's levels,
and I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would put my own ads up and screen my own calls and set my own price. And yeah, I wouldn't even get out of bed for less than $5,000, you know?
That's a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah, no. And it's crazy because people don't believe it, but my husband saw it firsthand. Literally, I would tell my husband this whenever we first got together, because Jelly's so cool. He was just like, he knew I was in the game and didn't have a problem with it. Because
that's not how he met you, right?
No. Fuck no. My husband is not a trick. Let's just clear this. Let's clear the air right now, because a lot of people always hear, oh, Bunny was a hoe. Was he a trick? No, my husband is a G. There is no way that my husband will ever trick off on a girl.
Jelly, I know for a fact you did not meet Bunny that way, so I'm just clarifying it right now. You were not a trick.
No, okay. I'll get into how Jay and I met. But whenever we did first get together, you know, my husband didn't have money. We didn't have the money that we have now, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just told me, you know, you're not going to have to be in this for long. If you know, whenever you're ready, come out of it. But me being the strong, independent woman I am, I was like, no, I'm going to make my own money. You're not,
I love that.
I'm never going to live off of you no matter what I have to do. But yeah, when he first came around, he saw, like, one night I think I made like $20,000, and like, he didn't believe me. He was at first, that's, he was like, there's insane. No fucking way you're making this much money. Mm-hmm. And I would just send him videos of like me with the clients and stuff like that, of them just handing me just hundreds and thousands of dollars. And he would just be like, dude, this is fucking nuts. Like, I didn't even know this world fucking existed.
Vegas is fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. And the amount of money that you can make out there is absolutely insane. It's crazy.
It's insane. If I was having a bad night, I would go on Tinder, and we call it going fishing. Go on Tinder, pull a trick off of Tinder, make fucking, you know, $2,500 just for showing up. right. just taking his money. So that's what I meant by Robin Hood.
Like, if you, yeah, where's the Robin Hood?
If you didn't have enough money to sleep with me, I was still going to take whatever money you had. Uh-huh. So even if I just had to show up and say, how you doing, fucking give you a couple lap dances, you were still going to pay me. So it's like pretty much like, and you know, some dudes would want their money back. And, you know, I've gotten held up in hotel rooms and punched by tricks before and stuff like that. But, and it's not always beautiful. I don't want to always glamorize it, but at the same time, I made a lot of fucking money.
Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, wider, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and wider with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because you listen to my show. I always do a segment, Sleut University, where yeah. I try to, you know, teach something. And in this instance, like, I'm not that familiar with it. And so I'm so excited to have you on, because you've talked about being a call girl specifically, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Which, what's it, like, you get same calls?
Thing. It's just a nice name. Because no, when I think of the word prostitute, I think back to biblical times.
Yeah.
Like, that, side thou, of the road. Thou for art thou prostitute, you know, like Mary Magdalene days. Like, yeah. I just feel like that, it sounds so harsh, you know? Yeah. Whereas I prefer, like, hooker, hoe, mm-hmm. you know, call girl, working girl, lady yeah. of the night, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Sugaring.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all the same end goal.
Yeah, for sure. We're all just hustling, trying to make a dollar.
Right, 100%. But I think, especially with TikTok and then OnlyFans, which is an incredible platform.
It's insane.
What do you mean by that?
OnlyFans has made me a millionaire. Like, it's just crazy the amount of money that is on fucking OnlyFans.
Okay.
That is a game fucking changer. It took me out of the game, pretty much. Yeah.
The amount of people I've had on the show that have told me that, and yeah. it's like, Sophia, it's time.
Yeah.
Like, it's time.
Baby,
like,
I will take you under my wing. Come on, baby.
I know. I've heard it.
Sophia, like, Sleut. We'll just put you, that's your OnlyFans name.
Sophia Sleut. But there's, OnlyFans is, I'm not going to say for the most part, but you can kind of go about OnlyFans however you want in a safe way for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But I think there's this whole thing with sex work, because we're becoming more of a progressive society, that mm-hmm. we talk about sex work in a very positive way.
Yeah.
And I'm a full supporter of sex work, whether it's track girls, sugary, like whatever yeah. it is, you know?
Yeah.
I fully support it. But I think with TikTok and all of these things, we glamorize yeah, and
absolutely.
Romanticize it, where it's like
right.
this incredible, amazing thing. And there's really a dark side that there a is. Lot of people don't talk about.
There's a very, very dark side. There's so many of my girlfriends who are still in the game. Shout out to you guys. I love you so much. There's some of my girls who never made it out the game, and they died from being addicts, or yeah. they died at the hands of their pimp, or they died on a call because a trick flipped out and killed them, you wow. know. So there is so much darkness with it, but like I always try to see the silver lining and everything, but it's the truth, you know. It mentally, I think yeah. you know, because I was sexually abused, and I've preached this on my podcast numerous times, because I was sexually abused and I was raped when I was younger, sex work was my way of taking my power back. It healed so many parts of me and made me feel powerful. Like, you can't touch me without paying me, you know? And a lot of little girls get their innocence taken and they internalize it.
Right.
And that follows them through life, and they become a perpetual victim. Whereas I was like, fuck that. No dude's ever going to make me feel like that again. I'm going to make them feel like this. I have the power to say when, no, leave when I want to, you know, like, it was just a whole healing journey. And when I was going through it, I didn't realize it until after I came out of it. And I was like, holy shit, that's what I was doing subconsciously and didn't even realize it.
Yeah. Reclaiming your power and your innocence in a way. Right.
Yeah.
Well, not so much, but like reclaiming this thing that was taken away.
Yeah, absolutely. Just never feeling powerless again, because when something traumatic like that happens to you, you feel powerless.
Yeah.
You feel vulnerable. You feel exposed. And you spend your whole life searching how to not feel like that, you know? So I think when you do find something that makes you powerful, fucking run with it, dude. And I mean, the plus side to it was I was making so much fucking money doing it, you know?
I think that's a very, very profound thing to say, because some people would take that as a negative. Oh, this happened to her, so she did this.
Yeah.
No, I think if anything, it was empowering for you and helped you kind of reclaim something that was taken.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, would you like suggest to people like that's one way to like deal with the trauma? Or
so I would never suggest that, because now having a stepdaughter that's 14, I could never fucking imagine her ever being in that lifestyle. Like, she wears fucking booty shorts and I want to freak out, you know? I'm like, no, you're not hot for 14. Stop doing that. 14 year olds aren't hot. You know, no, I don't. That was my way of doing it. Also, the game has changed so much. Back when I was doing it, it was really taboo. People were actually fucking safer about it.
They were safer in
the past. Well, I just feel like now it's just like such a fucking free-for-all, and it's so oversaturated, and there's so many people in the game, it's just crazy, you know?
Okay.
Whereas back then it was more planned out, you know? If a guy was gonna meet up with you, he had an appointment with you fucking weeks in advance. Whereas now it's like, it's just different, you know? It's just a different world we live in too, you know? I had a couple girls on the podcast one time, and the way that they said it was, if you're not mentally strong enough to get raped and then get back to work the next day, don't get into sex work.
Wow.
Because it happens all the time, you know?
That's like horrifying. Like, that's such a statement.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that you point that out, because we talk about sex work and not more casually, but just more, we are more accepting of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think women need to know that there's a mental tenacity that you need to have
for
it to work for you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, you have to be very strong. You have to be pretty much bulletproof.
Yeah.
And back then when I was doing it, it wasn't so mainstream. So I went through the ringer. I'm talking like, you know, people, this is when like, you know, MySpace and fucking online was just starting. So, you know, people didn't understand that line of work. So I've been called a hoe, a whore, fucking prostitute, you know, gold digger, just everything that you can think of. And if you're not able to stand your ground and be like, you know what, I'm doing this as a means to an end, then it'll end up just shattering your whole world. You got to be really strong and resilient.
I could totally see that. And you mentioned, just to back up a little bit, you, aside from your childhood, there was trauma there. There was abuse there. You were in an abusive relationship with a boyfriend.
Yep.
And that went on for how long, you said?
So I was with him for about, God, 4.5 years. And here's the thing. I don't want to talk shit about him, and I don't want to paint a picture of him being a horrible person, because, you know, there was a time where we were really in love. And there was a time where, you know, I would have done anything for that man.
Yeah.
And he would have done anything for me. It was just two people who had fucked up childhoods who came together and tried to make something work, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It was very bad. He strangled me so bad one night that he burst all the blood vessels in both of my eyes. He broke my orbital bone. He cracked my larynx. Oh my God. There was just time, there was one time where it was Christmas Eve, and it was like our first Christmas Eve together, and we had pulled up to the Rhino in Vegas. It was a strip club. And he was like, let's go in here. And I was like, I don't want to spend our first Christmas Eve in a strip club, you know? And he fucking lost his shit. I mean, he beat the fuck out of me in the back of that taxi from the strip club all the way to home. It was so bad that I saw my guardian angel.
Wow.
It was crazy. Like, in the fucking passenger seat, I couldn't understand, because I was getting beat up so bad. I couldn't understand why there was somebody who was this big, huge man in the front seat just sitting there facing mm-hmm. forward. But I could feel kind of like his peace, I guess, he was trying to give me while I was in the middle of that. And the taxi driver was just letting him do this because my ex was very intimidating, you know? Wow. So this whole time, the taxi driver is just driving us home while he's fucking beating the shit out of me. The beating continued into the house. And then weeks later, I was like, who was the second guy in the taxi with us? And he's like, there was nobody else in there except for me, you, and the taxi driver. So, Yeah, crazy. So I know for a fact that that was my guardian angel just being you're going to get through this. Like, just hold on. You're going to get through this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm so sorry that happened to you. I feel like so many women listening, though, are in similar situations or have dealt with situations like that. How did you get away?
Well, you know, with all toxic relationships, it's always push and pull. You're always going to go back. You're always going to, you know, like, it took a really long time. He actually had to go to prison for me to get away from him. And then what happened was, he went to prison in February of 2016. I had met Jay a year before that in 2015. But Jay and I had always stayed in contact. Jay is Jelly. We had always stayed in contact. And after my ex went to prison, Jay started hitting me up a lot more. He was like, so what's up? And, you know, he ended up coming down. I had a high rise condo in Vegas, and they were going to shoot a bunch of videos. And he came down in July and stayed at my place. And then that's
the rest is history.
The rest is history.
I love that story. So
Jay actually is the one who helped me get away from all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish Jay was here, because he sounds fucking incredible.
Oh, he's so amazing. You'll love him.
Right. And Jay knew about you being call girl or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did he feel about that?
He, you know, he didn't love it. No man ever wants to be like, yeah, go be a hoe, you know. But at the same time, he saw how much money I was making. And when you can't pull a woman away from making hundreds of thousands of dollars without you, she's going to tell you to go fuck yourself, you know. And I don't think he was scared of me telling me, because my husband's not a punk. So I don't think he was scared of me telling him that. But my husband's a hustler. He used to be a drug dealer before he was a rapper. So he gets it. When you're making that kind of street money hand over fist, it's just like, you know, let's roll with it. You never jump off a winning horse. That's what we always say.
Yeah.
And we didn't have money like how we have now. And then, you know, like I said, 4 years into it, I started the podcast. And it came to a point after 4 years where he was just like, babe, you do not have to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. At this point, you're doing it because you like it. You know, like, which one is it? Are you going to fucking retire, bitch, or what? Like, your pussy's going to fall off. No, you're say that.
No, this is charity, babe. I'm not even getting paid.
All right. But it was so hard for me to give up my independence.
Yeah.
So once I gave up that independence, literally, I gave that up in like January of 2019. I started the podcast March of 2019. And then we ended up doing OnlyFans in April of 2020, which I was so dead set against. And literally, I don't know why I was, because it's made me so much fucking money. The first month I made like fucking $75,000. Or no, I'm sorry, I made $100,000, right?
Yeah. In one month.
1 month.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I was like, I didn't know if that many people wanted to see my butthole. I was excited. I was like, yes, I get to be a hoe again. I'm just kidding.
You don't have to. I don't even know if you can tell me this, but like, that 1 month, were you having like sex with dudes on your OnlyFans?
Nope.
That just one, your butthole?
Nope. I don't think we showed nudity, right? Mm-mm. No, the first month, it was just like implied nudity. Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't have anything. I had nothing. I had no content. So I was literally just like me, like, hee hee, nipple. You know, like.
Okay, you know what?
Oh, they'll pay, baby,
I'm
to see.
I'm slamming my laptop shut right now.
I got fucking, you. I'm about to turn Sophia out, baby.
Please do. That is fucking crazy. Wow. Yeah.
No, and it's continued. It's been constant for fucking 3 years now, right? We've been on almost three, going into 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Do I call him Jelly or Daddy or Jay?
I mean, we like to call him Daddy.
Okay, I'm going to call him Daddy. So you were still making money by hooking up with men in whatever capacity while you were dating Daddy.
Yeah, in the beginning, yes, I had my sugar daddies. I wasn't like going on as many like dates per se. It was like I would only go on big money. So like if you wanted to see me, you had to spend a bag. Mm. I wasn't like out here just fucking collecting, you know, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000. It was like you need to give me a lot of fucking money for me to leave my husband to come see you.
I fucking love that. Would you tell them? I gotta leave. Oh yeah,
well, we're such a public couple. Everybody would see it, you know.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Does your husband mind? You know, and I'd be like, well, no. If you're giving me all of your money, no, he doesn't care. He loves when I spoil him with your money.
I'm gonna take him shopping. Yeah. After.
I mean, I invested in my husband's first, not his first album. Let me not say that. I invested in his Addiction Kills album. I helped him with that. Like, you know, anything. He needed custody of his daughter. I helped him with that. And I don't like bringing that stuff up. The only reason why I'm saying this is because he said it in the Bert Kreischer interview. I would never like say that publicly because I don't need the kudos. I know what I've done for my husband.
Right.
But like that money was always used to help us get to where we needed to be. It was not like I was like hoarding money and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also people are out here calling you a sugar baby and like you started,
gold digger.
You married. Yeah. Gold yeah. digger. And you dated him for his money. And it's like actually we make money and that's not always the case.
I think it's so crazy that people don't realize that women can make fucking money on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the weirdest shit. You think
every
blonde with big tits is a fucking gold digger? Like
no,
it's so weird. And that's another reason why I started my podcast, because I was so fucking tired of people trying to shame me and be like, oh, Jelly Roll's wife is a hoe, and you know, they would post about it and stuff like that. And finally, I just told Jay, I was like, I'm going to start this podcast because I've always wanted my own radio talk show. Mm-hmm. Even as a kid, I used to fucking pretend my name was Lacey Carter. And I fucking would record on my little yellow fucking boom box and fucking have my own little radio shows, you know. And so I told Jay, I was like, I just want to tell my story. And he was like, go baby, go do it. He's like, I back you. And then that's how this all fucking started.
And I love that it's Dumb Blonde, that you called it Dumb Blonde, because mm-hmm. that's you just taking the bullshit that people say about you and fucking owning it and be like, yep, Dumb Blonde Podcast, Dumb Blonde Productions.
Yep.
That's the name of your production company.
Yep.
It's like a slap in the face. Like, fuck you. It's similar to the I Have Options, like my merch line, because a bunch of people were talking shit on a TikTok I did. And it's like, I love taking the negative narrative,
the hate, and making money off of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%.
That's my fucking whole repertoire. I love that. That is my jam. Don't say something you don't want me to make money off of, because I will
fucking throw that shit on a t-shirt and go.
Facts. I've had gold digger t-shirts. I've had everything that you can think of that people have thrown at me. It's also to pay homage to one of the most amazing businesswoman in the industry, and that's Dolly Parton, because you know, she fucking has dealt with so much bullshit. People have came against her, and she's a fucking icon and a lucrative businesswoman. So she has a song called Dumb Blonde too. So it was very tongue-in-cheek, of course, for what you said. Then it was also paying homage to Dolly too.
I fucking love Dolly.
Yeah, me too.
I am into country. I am into Dolly. Now that I'm in Nashville, I'm like,
are you gonna go get some cowgirl boots, or what's up?
I need you to tell me where the fuck to go.
You gotta get some Lucchese's, right? If you're gonna do
Lucchese's.
Is it Lucchese or listen, I'm a West Coast bitch, so let me not pronounce this the wrong way.
Is it Lucchese? What they're called? I'm ready to drop money on
what?
It.
You know what? Here, we'll call Daddy while we're on the podcast really quick.
Oh my God, yes, let's call Daddy. We'll by the way, the fact that Daddy's like so supportive.
Oh yeah, he's amazing, dude.
Right? We can only date strong men.
Yeah, no, my husband is such a boss, dude.
We're public hoes. We can only deal with strong right. guys.
He's in a writing sesh with Brantley Gilbert right now, so he might not answer, but he'll call me right back.
Okay, ask him what's more important.
Yeah, Daddy, we're on air right now. We need you.
So he's been doing it for 20 years. When did he like hit his break? Like when did he like...
This last 2020. So, you know, as a family, we sat down and we were like, okay, are we going to let this pandemic fuck with our family and our funds? Because he couldn't tour and I wasn't working anymore. So we sat down and we were like, okay, we're just going to fucking start shooting out content and fucking filming left and right. We started the OnlyFans. He started, he dropped an album, I think. We filmed so much content and we just went fucking balls to the wall to where 2020, we both blew up.
Wow.
Like, I started a TikTok. I had fought my manager, Mimi, was like, bitch, get the fuck on TikTok. I was like, I am not 12 and gonna shake my ass to fucking songs on TikTok. I'm not doing this.
I had that same hurdle. I'm like,
No, but, and then I got on it and I think we went viral. Like the first fucking, this is the second profile we've had. They took my last one.
They'll probably take this one too.
Oh, no, they did. They took it a couple weeks ago. Okay. And they gave it back. Thank God. Thank you, TikTok gods.
Thank you, TikTok.
But yeah, we went on TikTok. We went viral. We did the OnlyFans. And my husband's song, Save Me, ended up going like platinum. And just great. It's been a snowball since 2020. It's been so hard to keep up. Like,
you guys are a fucking power couple.
Oh, I love him.
I mean, I literally touched down in Nashville, got to my Airbnb, and there you guys both are on the TV. Aww. And I'm like, okay.
Shout out Brantley. We love Brantley. Brantley Gilbert's a sweetheart. Yeah, it's just been insane. And now he's got this. He starts his tour with Shinedown and Ko Wetzel and Brantley. All starts at the end of August.
I love that. Yeah. And you know what we need to do, Bunny, is you and I, for our podcast collab tour, we're going to open up for
Holes and for Souls, Daddy. Baby.
Yeah, we're going to open up for Daddy.
Let's do it. Oh, he would love that.
It's going to be a whole big collab.
Let's do it, baby. I'm so down.
So, Bunny, I have one super random question, but like I need to know for me and for the people listening.
Oh God, I'm scared.
The men in Nashville.
Oh, trash. Say less.
So we're not into that.
No.
They can't be worse than the men in Vegas. Because I know the men in Vegas.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Nashville boys are a different breed. Mm. They are not as bad as the dudes in Vegas, but I feel like the dudes in Vegas, what you see is what you get with them. Whereas okay. in Nashville, it's more of a mask. Mm. So I don't know. I mean, if you're just here to have fun, just be here for a good time, not for a long time, baby.
Okay.
You know, like just so like, get it up, not, get it in, get it on, and get it out.
Get in, get on, get out. So yeah. they're not husband material, but they're
I mean, I married fun. A Nashville boy. So, but we have been through hell together. Yeah. It hasn't always been fucking peaches and roses and fucking butterflies and unicorn farts. Like it's we had to fight to get to where we are. So I mean, I think that with any fucking population of males, you're gonna have to sift through the funk to find yep. you know, the princes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Okay, Bunny, this has been such an incredible fucking conversation and interview. I want to get into my sleuths, questions, stories, advice, and I feel like you're the perfect person to do it with.
Let's
so
do it.
Let's start with the first one. This girl wrote in and said, "My first cousin and I have been hooking up for a year. It's legal in our state. We're past the stage of having kids. We have been attracted to each other since we were kids and finally acted on it 1 year ago. Our family will freak the fuck out should we end it."
Is first cousin blood?
Yes.
Oh. And when she says that they're past the stage of having kids, does that mean they have one?
No, I think that has to mean they're too old, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, possibly. Okay, I was like, are they having one? Like, what's
so
happening?
These are like first cousins, blood cousins in their 50s. God. Fucking.
I mean, I feel like, didn't Jerry Lee Lewis do it? Fucking, didn't he fucking sleep with his first cousin? I mean, people do it. And I hate that it's like, you know, love is love. You can't help who you fucking love, but God dang. I don't know. It's like, what's the right answer here?
No, I want to say love is love, but I don't know. I think I draw the line with first cousin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never looked at one of my cousins and been like, you know, like,
right.
ever.
No, you know what it is for me? It's if they would have randomly met each other at a supermarket and right. didn't know they
and didn't
were
know,
related.
I could believe that more. Yeah.
Then I
feel
would
like
be,
this is premeditated.
Well, she says we've been attracted to each other since we were kids. So they knew it was a no-no from the beginning.
That means they messed around as kids too, probably. They played house and shit.
So Bunny and I, we say it's time to end it.
Yeah, that's premeditated incest.
100%.
Where do they live? Alabama? They said it's legal.
Who? I have no fucking clue.
No offense to my Alabamans.
No, we love Alabama.
Yeah, but that's legal out in Alabama, isn't it?
I don't know, like, I have Alabama. No idea. I think even Utah has a rule that, actually, I don't even fucking remember.
We're not up to date on our incest
there's
rules.
Some loophole there's some loophole where you can marry your cousin, but if you guys would have, like, you know, serendipitously ran into each other, fine, but you guys knew. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Sophia, I recently found an album of 7,000 pictures of naked girls and models on my boyfriend's phone. He said he doesn't know any of them personally and wouldn't keep pictures of people he knows. But at the end of the day, 7,000 seems insane. I told him it's not okay, and he says he doesn't use them to jerk off. He just has a collection.
So he's a fucking serial killer. Is that what we're getting at here? He fucking stalks women and saves their pictures.
Right?
Are these like pictures like off of a computer or?
Right. So then she says the latest ones he saved were literally from today. Along with that, I found screenshots of girls' TikTok profiles, and he also claims to not have a reason for having them. I'm having trouble navigating this. And do you think this is normal? Love the podcast. So we don't know what kind of pictures.
It doesn't matter. 7,000. Yes. Like, she needs to get out why she still has her heartbeat. Like, this dude sounds like he's like profiling women, or I mean, if they're not nude and he's like saving these pictures of women in their everyday activities, that's fucking serial killer behavior.
Wait, first of all, why does he have to save them? Like, why does he need like
serial killer behavior?
The Little Mermaid, Ariel, like her little collection of things. Like, why does he need to collect these pictures like a
pick collector? That's what I call them. So on internet, weirdos are pick, are, we call them pick collectors, and that's what they do. They save girls' pictures, but it's because they're doing either jacking off with them or they're fucking doing like stalking.
What
maybe
else do you do besides, yeah. Well, he told her that he's not jacking off to them, so what is,
oh,
the
so it must be
for?
It must be the truth that he said, because he told her he's not doing it, right? Because we know men are so honest.
Right, he just has a shrine for absolutely no fucking reason.
At least he didn't say it was his friends.
Thank you. At yeah. least he was honest yeah. enough to say they were his.
Right. Well, I mean, how do you lie 7,000 pictures? Like, bro, how, I want to know the timeline that you accumulated those.
Right.
Like, how long did it take him to accumulate those?
And the fact that she looked and he had some from earlier that day.
Yeah, that's
girl,
weird.
Girl, your question is, I'm having trouble navigating this. And do I think it's normal? I don't think it's normal.
Navigate your way the fuck out of that relationship.
100%.
Yeah, no, that's some weird fucking serial killer behavior.
Yeah.
Strange.
Very strange. You catch him watching porn, fine. A couple like nudes from his exes, fine. 7,000, that's an issue.
I like my men obsessed with me. So if mm-hmm. you've got a picture of fucking 7,000 other women in your, that's too much competition. Like, yeah. They can have you.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree.
I hope your fucking little picture stills keep you warm at night, you know?
I want to know what iPhone he has and like what storage.
Yeah, he's got the terabyte. He's got like the fucking the 1 terabyte or whatever it's called.
How do you carry that around? He like has a fucking hard drive attached. Yeah. Okay, next. Oh, this is a guy that wrote in. My girl's into the idea of a threesome, but we are having a hard time finding our unicorn. Any advice on how to corral one? So, Bunny, you know what a unicorn is, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you find a third mm-hmm. to hook up with that's going to like respect all the rules. They're not like attached to you guys in any way. And they're like the perfect person to have a threesome with.
Yeah, which you're never going to find that. I feel like everybody nowadays puts a label, like there's a fucking label for everything. You know, back in the day, back in my day when I was doing threesomes, it was just some random you met at the bar and you guys are having fun. You know, mm-hmm. when you put too much pressure on the situation, the universe is going to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen because, you know, you want somebody to respect all the rules. You want your boyfriend to not touch them, or you want your boyfriend to pay more attention to you, or, you know, like there's just too many rules. Like,
right.
Having a threesome is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be technical. It's not supposed to be analytical. It's just a fucking fly by the seat of your pants, fucking pull a bitch home and fucking just have fun with her and don't let the door hit her on the way out, you know?
Wait, I fucking love that perspective.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are out here saying you need to have the boundaries. You need to have the conversation laid out. He can fuck you, but he can't fuck her. She can only suck his dick. And it's like there's all these little things.
So the only rule I ever have with any of my dudes during threesomes is you're not allowed to come in them. You can come on them, just not in them.
Which is fair, because you're like, let's not have
we don't want that bonding moment. Yeah. You know that. And as far as like laying down ground rules, just talk to your dude, you know, like don't be a fucking nag about it and be like, no, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. Just be like, you know, I would be more comfortable with it if you didn't come in her and you only came on her, or, mm-hmm. you know, if whatever rule it is that you have, but you don't want to make it to where it's not fun.
Right. When like, you have 10 rules, like the 10 commandments going in and it's like, fuck, I forgot what rule. Yeah.
Like fucking right hand on red, left hand on yellow. Yeah. Like you're playing fucking Naked Twister and shit. That's not fun. You know, like you want to just have fun with it. It's just live in the moment, you know, like don't fucking put rules on it, because then that just takes the fun out of it and it's stressful for everybody. It's not fun.
Yeah. I actually totally agree with that, and I think the girl or the guy that you guys try to bring into your fucking bedroom, they'll catch on if there's too many rules. So we just have to brief you. You can't suck his dick, but you can't get fucked.
Yeah.
And you can eat me out, but like we can't make out.
It's and no eye contact. Yeah. You know, like just weird shit. Like you just can't do that. Just have fun with it. And of course, have ground rules with your partner before then. And then just tell the girl, you know, before you guys get it on or whatever, hey, we're going to use a condom or, you know, let's just have fun. But your man gets you all the time.
Yeah.
The whole point of having a threesome is so he can fuck another bitch and get it out of his system. Like,
okay.
Don't Amen. Deprive him of the one shot that he gets of not cheating on you and just having sex in front of you. Like, make, you know, reward him for actually fucking being a good boy. That's how I feel about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Why go into a threesome with your boyfriend and be like, your eyes need to be closed. You can't fuck her.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's like, at that point, you're just doing the threesome to appease him and it's not appeasing him because you're not even letting him enjoy it.
And the thing is if you are not comfortable with a threesome, don't fucking do it.
Yes.
If you do not agree to something that you don't think that you, A, mentally cannot handle, and two, physically cannot be a part of without fucking making it an uncomfortable situation.
Right. So do you and J/Jelly/Daddy, do you guys do threesomes? You guys are down with that?
Yeah, we slowed down during the pandemic because shit got scary. But, you know, and here's the thing. My husband and I, we've had numerous threesomes. We've had a couple foursomes. But here's the thing. We're just at a point in our relationship now where it's like, if my husband's on tour and there's a girl there that wants to have sex with him, all they have to do is DM me. Like, a lot of the girls are so respectful. Like, I love our following because literally they're like family. But they'll be like, hey, I want to come home with you guys. And they'll DM me. They don't DM him that shit. They DM me and they always come to me about it. And if I can't, there's a couple girls that I've sent to his shows, you know, like, hey, baby, this girl right here wants to fuck. And he'll be like, yes or no. Mm-hmm. And my husband is bougie. He turns bitches down. Like, I'm like, fuck. And the only way we turn him down is face down. And he's like, I don't know, baby. You know, I just, you know. And I'm just like, you're a dude. Stick your dick in it and fucking carry on, you know. And he's just like, no, not tonight.
You're like, I should be like the picky one over here.
Yeah. But yeah, we do. We have a really cool thing where we just, you know, we love each other. And my husband knows I'm a highly sexual individual. He knows I love young cabana boys. So, you know, we just have my only one rule with my husband is tell me first.
Yeah.
Do not let some girl DM me and tell me something about my husband when, you know, you could have told me first.
I love that.
And then my husband's rule is, I don't want to know what you do.
That's if you fucking
sleep with a cabana boy, get it out of your system and make sure it doesn't come to our front door.
Uh-huh. I love how it's the cabana boy specifically. Yeah. Like, I just imagine you like at your house with the pool and he's like wearing a little Speedo cleaning out the...
Where's he at? I'm fucking cabana boy auditions.
I fucking love that. Okay, Bunny, this was so incredible.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story because you are just incredible. Like,
I love you.
You are a testimony to how you can completely turn your life around, you know, and there's a silver lining to everything. Where can they find you?
You can find, just Google Bunny XO. You can find me on Instagram. It's XOMG It's Bunny. TikTok, XOMG It's Bunny. Bunny XO on YouTube. I mean, I'm everywhere. And if you can't find me, just type in Jelly Roll and I'm usually right attached to his hip.
Type in Jelly Roll. Her TikTok is fucking incredible. And Dumb Blonde Podcast. Yes.
And listen to my podcast. We drop every other Wednesday. Dumb Blonde Podcast. You can find me on Apple. We have a Patreon. What else, Mimi? What am I contractually Only obligated fans. To say? Oh, yeah. You guys want to see my butthole? Just find me. It's Bunny. What is my fucking OnlyFans? It's Bunny VIP on OnlyFans.
Great,
you
know, name.
It's a great time over there. Let me tell you.
Yeah. $100,000 the first month. Yeah. Great time. I
bust it wide open over there, baby. Come and get it, daddies. Or even the girls, too. I love the girls. It's crazy. I have a lot of guys that hit me up on there that listen to my podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's so interesting. So well, weird. I fucking love that. Thank you so much for coming on.
Dude, thank you for having me. I love everything you're doing. I think you're a fucking powerhouse and I am so proud to just be a little fucking smeck of your journey. So
thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, baby.
We will talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.